May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I'm always amazed by those people's daily work consists of dealing with what are the relative stressful parts of the rest of our lives. The surgeon who walks into a room and describes exactly the tricky procedure he's about to perform, which is scary for you and a Tuesday morning surgeon. The skydiving instructor who casually launches people out of the door of a plane before jumping out himself, as he's done hundreds of times. The airline pilot who pops onto the announcement to say, "Hi, this is your captain speaking. Look, we've got a little bit of bumpy hair up ahead, so I'm going to put on a belt sign, and you know that something bad is about to happen to you." Tax accountants, among others. These people can be soothing way. Surely if they're so calm doing what they do every day, it must mean that it's really okay. But they're also a bit unnerving, infuriating, because don't they realize this is terrifying? Jesus is one of these people, to be sure. Jesus is with those disciples in the boat, experiencing the same storm that they are, but Jesus seems to be acting a little differently from the rest of them. He's with them in the boat, but he's not at all like them in the boat. Matter of fact, he's been with the disciples in the boat all day. Sometimes when we read these little snippets on Sunday morning, we miss what's happening in the story. But it began with actually the parables we heard last week. Such a large crowd had gathered to hear Jesus teach. Got into a boat and sailed off the shore so that they could actually all see and hear him, a floating pulpit. And he told them parables about sowing seed, hiding lamps under a bushel. The kingdom of God is like mustard seed. And then on that day, when evening had come, he said to his disciples, "Let's go on to the other side." And so leaving the crowd on one beach, he sails across the Sea of Galilee to the other shore. Now Jesus is tired. Speaking to a crowd with a microphone can do that to you. And he falls asleep. Deeply asleep. So deeply asleep that a huge wind starts to blow and the waves are breaking on the bow and the boat is being swamped. He's still there sleeping. And you can imagine the scene. I think it's one of the moments in the Bible that's supposed to be a little funny. People are rushing around, trying to bail out, throwing things overboard. The boat will keep floating, desperately trying to remember how to swim. And then in turn, Jesus is a snooze. They go back and start shaking. "Teacher," they say, "don't you care that we are perishing?" And he wakes up, and maybe he yawns. And what does he do? Does he start shouting orders like a seasoned sea captain, like the commanding messiah they might expect him to be? "Batten the hatches, ease the sail." I'm not a sailor. No, he's not. Does he call upon the name of God like a wise pastor or spiritual leader, praying and in words that voice to their fear and their pain and bring them comfort, that artfully articulate their deepest need in this hour of distress? "Oh God, you still the storms of the sea. Surround us with your love care. Protect us from all danger, and bring us in safe to our journey's end. Amen." That was from the prayer book. No, he doesn't do that either. Does he grab it and start bailing? Nope. Does he too? Of course not. He looks over the side of the boat at the sea, and he says, "Stop it." And it does. This little vignette tells us a lot about God and about Jesus and about our lives and about how God and Jesus fit into lives. And it goes back to that distinction I noted at the beginning. Just as Jesus was with the disciples in the boat on stormy sea, but he wasn't very much like the disciples in the boat on the stormy sea, so Jesus with us in the stormy seas that we go through in our lives. He's with us on these paths, through our lives, but Jesus isn't quite like us. It's a very good thing. Jesus is with us, and Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Our God is not a cruel God, playing with us sport like a Greek or Roman God, creating storms to torment us. Our God is not a cold or cruel God, swamping us with waves, test our faith, or improve endurance. God's not an absent God creating the universe and setting things in motion, going off on vacation, or just receiving prayers and it's in an inbox piles up. Our God is a compassionate God, a God who suffers with us. That's what compassion means. It comes among us on earth and experiences what we experience. A God who feels every wave as it hits the boat and knows what it's like to be swamped. And yet, although God is with us, God is not exactly like us. Jesus doesn't panic when the people around him are panicking. He's not afraid of the wind and the storm. He absorbs their panic and their fear, and he remains calm. Like that skilled surgeon or that jaded airline pilot, he remains almost infuriatingly calm. He doesn't just stay calm, he acts. And he acts in an expected way. He just tells the sea to be still, and it is. I think that there's a dramatic irony in this story, something that we're supposed to know that the disciples don't. Teacher, they ask him, don't you care we are perishing? And we know that, in fact, he cares very much. In fact, that's why he's there. He cares not just about them, but about all of us. Just about them perishing in that boat, then, but the fact that all of us are perishing. We are mortal human beings. He knows, and he cares, and he acts. That's what he's there for. In the particular story, he immediately stills the storm, and that's an impressive demonstration of his divine powers. But there's an echo of another ending, another way that he acted. Did anyone hear a bit of the book of Jonah in this story? Those of you who are pretty astute readers of the Bible, and particularly the longer and shorter books like Jonah, might have heard it there. Jonah flees from God's call, and he gets on a ship. And God sends a storm. There are winds, and then there are waves, and the sailors are afraid. But Jonah lies asleep. The two scenes are the same. But then the sailor pick Jonah up, and they tell him to praise God like they are to theirs. Now, Jonah knows that it was his God who sent this particular storm because he was running away. And so Jonah, like Jesus, chooses to act. Unlike this, he doesn't rebuke the storm. He tells the sailors, pick me up and hurl me into the sea. And they do. And then the ship is saved. That's where the whale comes in, and of course, the whale, who people best know from the Jonah story, because after they throw Jonah into the sea, God provides a large fish or a whale or a prehistoric shark to swallow him up. And Jonah is entombed in the belly of the whale for 3 days and then rises again, which may also sound familiar. Jesus does throw himself into the sea to save his companions. Not in this story, not yet. That's where the whole story of Jesus is going. The echoes of Jonah are no accident. Jesus is going to throw himself off the... Jesus does care that they are perishing. Jesus will like Jonah, give himself to save others. Jesus is going to hand himself over to death on the cross and lie in the tomb, and after 3 days, rise again. And it's that act of self-sacrificing love that seems to save us from the power of death, so that we too can travel safely across these stormy seas, reach the other side with God. Maybe this morning, on this particular morning, you feel battered by the storm, tossed around by waves, barely hanging on. Maybe this morning you feel good, but you might remember what that was like. Or maybe you look at a world that's full of chaos and violence, suffering and war, or the disciples, sometimes you feel afraid. The message of this story, I think, is first that you're not alone, that God is with you in the boat, that God loves you, and God does care, and God comes to you there, where you are. You're allowed to cry out to God about it. You're allowed to say to God, like the disciples say to Jesus, don't you care? That doesn't bother God one bit. Jesus remains as infuriatingly calm as ever. What a source of the storm. And when you bring that fear, pain to God in prayer, God sometimes helps to lighten the because God can carry some amount of it for you and not be swamped. And sometimes, of course, this happens through other people. When we bring things to God in prayer, it's not sitting in the silence of our own room speaking to God. Often God's present to us, a friend's listening ear, in a conversation with someone we just, when we our burdens and they share them, God is there. You even might pay someone to sit and listen to you talking to God sometimes, even if you think you're talking to him. And that's all well and good, and hopefully it helps to calm waves. But the second source of meaning, the second sin which God answered prayers in this story, is that God is not just a listening ear. Like Jesus waking up in that boat, God chooses to act in mysterious and sometimes surprising, often frustrating ways. I wish it were the case God would simply still the storm, as Jesus does in this story, whatever that storm is for you. I wish it were the case that we too could see such quick results. But who am I to try to guess where God is acting and where God is not? I wasn't there, after all, and all any more than Joe was when God laid the foundations of the earth, when the stars sang together and the heavenly beings shouted for joy. But I trust that God is love, and that God loves each one of us, that God is stilling the storm to a whisper, that God is being in our world and in our lives to calm the waves, and that God will one day bring us safely to that distant shore. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.